It's time for The Conversation with John Orr. Welcome, everybody. We hope that you have the phone number here for your call-ins, questions, and comments, 503-325-0010, because we have Rosemary Johnson here, the planner for the City of Astoria, and a really jam-packed agenda for Tuesday at the Planning Commission. And I realize this issue may not have great concern for other parts of the KMUN listening audience. That being said, we all share an interest in our beautiful and precious resource, the Columbia River, and the beauty and inspiration it affords us. So to the extent you have opinions on that, then by all means, call. I was going to have a little background here from her, but we have somebody dying to talk to us, so I'm going to just go ahead and go to the first caller. This is The Conversation with John Orr. What's your question or comment?
Hi, my name's Chuck, and I'm calling you about the condition of, how are we saying it, the height of buildings along the waterfront.
Yes, Chuck.
And I think that we have to value the height as we value the access to the waterfront. And
say,
that's
paramount. Say more about that,
we'll
yeah.
be through the ages. So to have tall buildings or you have buildings being built on the waterfront is ludicrous. Build tall back if you want, but along the waterfront, keep them low, if at all. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for your call, Chuck. Well, that is right on the point. It's one point of view. So, Rosemary, with that call addressing the concerns, as Chuck, the last caller, said that we should value, I guess, the height, or in essence, build them flat and low. And you and I touched upon that, and I touched upon that in my previous conversation a couple of weeks ago with Mayor Bruce Jones. So with that in mind, if you can touch on that as you go through your background.
Okay, just a quick background.
Let me get you on mic for just a quick background.
Just a quick background. Basically, a few years ago, the city saw and the citizens saw a need to protect the waterfront because we were starting to have lots of development. And so we did a riverfront vision plan for the entire Columbia River area. We broke it up into four districts: Bridge Vista, the Urban Core, Civic Greenway neighborhood. And we then, once that was approved, we needed to start doing implementation codes, which meant how are we going to apply that vision code to the laws. We completed Bridge Vista, Civic Greenway, and Neighborhood Greenway. Bridge Vista was the area between the port and 2nd Street. And that area was identified as having some development, but some protection of the views of the river. Most of the area north of the river was going to be protected, or north of the river trail, would be protected by limited development, and then more development would occur south of the river trail on the land area. For Bridge Vista, what happened was the very first large project to come through for review was the Fairfield Hotel at the foot of 2nd Street. As that building was being reviewed, we found that the code had some ambiguities. And so when it went through an appeal process to the city council identified the fact that while they understood the intent of the vision plan, the way the code was written, there were some sections that just weren't as clear as they should be. So they directed staff to do some amendments to that section of the code to make it clearer as to what the vision plan was intended to do. One of the big issues was the height of buildings. And the uses are not proposed to be changed from what was already adopted, which means that there's limitations on the water side. No residential, no hotels on the water side. But on the land side, they would be allowed either outright or under a conditional use permit, which means they'd have to go through public review. It depends on which zone they're located in. When you start talking about height, that's where you have some differences of opinions. If you have a single-story building that goes the full length of the block, literally you're blocking the view from, say, Marine Drive, West Marine Drive area.
The so-called Astoria warehousing building phenomenon, flat, cut blocks views for everybody.
Correct.
Up to at least a certain height level.
Correct. But then with limitations as to how big a building can be, such as in this area, we say 30,000 square feet. If you go two stories, then you're basically making that building half the width. Because if you have 15,000, 30,000 on one floor.
Square feet.
Right.
30,000 square feet. So they got to get their square footage one way or the other. They get it either by going up or by they going out horizontally. But they can't go up and out because then they would exceed the square footage.
Correct. Correct. So if they go up two stories, then you have more views at the land area. With the proposal that's before the Planning Commission right now, it's suggested that 28 feet high with 30,000 square foot footprint, or 30,000 square feet gross. And the proposal includes the ability for a variance, which is an exception to the code, and you have to meet certain criteria through the Planning Commission and public review. They could go to 35 feet.
Through the variance process, they
Correct.
Could go all the way to 35 feet, which is almost three stories?
It's a three-story building, yes. And then the other option that we're putting in as a proposal to the Planning Commission is that if it is going to be for affordable housing, they could automatically go to 35 feet because there is a need for affordable housing in this area. And there are some state-mandated regulations that we have to provide areas for affordable housing.
Now, can you give us any examples which you're aware off the top of your head where 35-foot or give or take buildings exist along the waterfront, either in the urban core or just existing buildings, to give us a frame of reference?
The Uniontown apartments are probably between 35 and 45 feet. The most of the buildings along the waterfront are about two stories. City Hall in Astoria is probably closer to the 35 feet, you know, just to give you a reference of height. So you're looking at a three-story building.
So, again, everybody, this is a conversation with John Orr. We're pleased to have our guest from the City of Astoria planner, Rosemary Johnson, and this is in anticipation of the Planning Commission, City of Astoria Planning Commission, Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. at Guy Boynton Building, 857 Commercial, downtown Astoria. And the agenda includes reducing allowable building heights in the Bridge Vista Zone and whether stores that sell cannabis should be considered tourist-oriented retail in the development code, so you can mix your marijuana dispensary perhaps with mixed use and residential. But today we're talking with her about, with Rosemary Johnson, about the allowable building heights in the Bridge Vista Zone, which is on the agenda for Tuesday's meeting. So give us your calls, 503-325-0010. Do you think that we should lower the allowable heights? Do you think 28 feet height is just about right, two-story building on the waterfront? Or do you think the lower buildings, which because of the square footage aspect of the code, would conceivably result in longer, flatter buildings? So you might have 20 feet spread for the entire area of the parcel owned by the potential developer. So if you think that we want to go the route of the Astoria warehousing model to have lower, flatter, wider, but occupying more of the area, then weigh in on that. And I realize that might be a slightly jaded characterization, but I'm trying to provoke you into calling. And, but on a serious note, these important decisions, they will affect a development, economic development, the view of the river, our views of the river, people looking over the Columbia River from the, you know, the north side of the city and the north slopes. It could conceivably change the way our city looks. Do we want to attract more development, more tourist activities, more hotels? These are questions to ponder, and if you want to raise them, This is your opportunity, 503-325-0010. So there we go. So let's talk about what are some of the unintended consequences if Councillor Roger Rocha's proposal, what was that, to lower it to 28 feet?
Correct.
Now, what are some of the potential unintended consequences or undesirable consequences of that?
Well, there's pros and cons to the lower buildings or the higher buildings. And when you lower them, as I said, it makes a wider building. It also limits what economic value you can get to the upper floors, such as housing. A lot of times a commercial building will have the first floor with some public or commercial uses, and the upper floors are residential. The other effect is that walking along the river trail, if you have taller buildings, you get a tunnel effect with much higher buildings. Even though they don't block your view, you get this effect of having that taller building as you're walking the river trail. So you can have both sides of the story as far as views.
Let's come back to that. Looks like our switchboard is lighting up. And this is John Orr, conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your call. What's your comment or question?
I have a couple of questions and then just an opinion. The questions are, at the meeting Tuesday night, it sounds like we're mainly talking about height and building mass. I'm wondering why we can't entertain having a change in the allowable uses along the waterfront and just not allow hotels to be built. And that gets at the point of how many hotels does a town this size need to support in terms of our infrastructure and our economic activity? I think we have sufficient hotels, and I think the way of handling height and mass is by saying we don't want hotels down there. We want a waterfront use. Other commercial uses would be allowable. And I would be willing. I'm for low height. 28 feet seems plenty high enough, but I would be willing to entertain the idea of allowing certain commercial activities if they can show a reason why it is necessary for them to have a taller structure to carry out the type of activity they want to do.
So that would be like a conditional use.
Allowed to go a little higher.
So that would be like a conditional use for maybe a hotel or some other kind of commercial use. Why don't I give that?
Not a hotel.
Not a hotel. Okay, thanks. I got you. Let's let Rosemary run with that.
Okay, there's been a lot of question back and forth whether to prohibit any more hotels along the waterfront. The current code does prohibit hotels on the water side in that Bridge Vista area, 2nd Street to Maritime Memorial area. And so we already have prohibited them over water. On the land area, it depends on where they are, which zone, because you have different zones along that area, whether they're allowed as an outright use, which means no public review, or as a conditional use, which means they have to meet certain conditions and go through public review. That is a bigger question than what we're trying to address with this initial amendment. The City Council wanted to fix the areas in the code that were not clear. Most of the corrections that we're doing or changes are just to make it clearer and more direct as to what we're doing. The question of whether to prohibit hotels along the waterfront completely is a bigger issue that they weren't ready to delve into at this time with this fix of the code.
I see. It's going from a more of a generalized code cleanup task that was assigned to you to and so that maybe the way that could proceed if the public demanded it or the City Council would accept it would be to, at the conclusion of this process, take a separate pass at the caller's question. Do we want, do we need more hotels? What are the infrastructure strains that impose upon it? And what are the values that would be affected by that? And maybe putting one idea comes to mind would be to have a conditional use for such things and just make it so that there would be discretion which could be applied that wasn't apparently available in the case of the Fairfield hotels. So the discretion would reflect the views of the community with a public hearing. They could weigh in, and those value choices that are embodied in the conditions would find expression. And if, you know, maybe people 10 years from now, they had a different attitude, they could do that, but it wouldn't be just march right through. I've got a permitted use. Let me have my hotel.
Right. One of the things you have to be careful with a conditional use permit is it's not open to that much discretion. The conditional use has specific what's called criteria or codes that they have to comply with. If the use, such as a hotel, could comply with each of those, whether you want it there or not, you have to approve it. So it comes down to them meeting the code, not whether that particular hotel at that particular location you want. So we would be looking at transportation, access to the site.
What about need? What about felt market need? That was the caller's concern. Why would we build them if we didn't need them? Would that be a consideration?
No, it is not through the conditional use process.
You mean it's not constitutionally permitted or it's not ordinarily done?
That's a question for an attorney. I don't know. But...
Yeah, I think they could. And then if somebody wanted to squabble it, well, we could just raise that while it was being under consideration. Is that good for you, caller?
Well, I just have one other quicker question.
Sure.
I thought that was good discussion, but I still think that ultimately we should just move for banning hotels along both the landward side from the Riverwalk and the water side. But anyway, my question got back to you mentioning that there's consideration of a conditional use, I think, of allowing low-cost or workforce housing to be built down there. And I didn't understand that because I thought that residential activity in those zones was not allowable. So what's the difference between workforce and just residential, and why would you want to put people's homes in a tsunami zone?
Okay, residential use is prohibited over the water in this Bridge Vista area. So we did add that to the code when we first adopted it. Residential use on the landward side is allowed, and in some zones it's allowed above the first floor, which means you'd have a commercial activity on the first floor. At this time, residential development is not prohibited in a tsunami zone. The things that are prohibited in tsunami zones are more your critical facilities, such as hospitals, emergency services. So you can still build residential and commercial in tsunami zones. There are specific ways you have to build buildings. But allowing housing throughout your city in all areas is a state requirement. And so we have to also balance some of those state regulations as to allowing housing. If we limit the building to 28 feet, it does reduce the feasibility of housing because you're probably not going to do one story of housing. Adding that extra floor up to 35 feet would make it a little more feasible for some housing, but the exception that we've drafted in the code, which again the Planning Commission is going to discuss on Tuesday night, is whether they should be granted automatic 35 feet if they provide affordable housing. And as everyone knows, we are short on affordable housing in this area.
And places to build it, acreage.
Correct.
This is not like Warrington.
Right. A lot of our acreage for multifamily dwellings, which is anything above three units in one building, is fairly limited. The two largest areas are both on the east end of town. One of them is federally owned property, and the other one is the Blue Ridge area, which is just there near Tongue Point. And both of those have issues that make them harder to develop.
But one of them is going to be developed by Kerry Johnson, and that sounds like a good plan to put that kind of housing in there. But in fact, really, when you look at the recent housing report that was just released, there's something like 1.5 homes for everybody in the county. And that is because so many of the homes are second homes to people that don't live here. There's also short-term rental that's being used for people to generate income. And if they disallowed a lot of short-term rental, and that would force people into renting the homes long-term to residents rather than visitors. So the city needs to look at the Airbnb effort and the short-term rentals of all sorts that are going on here under the radar as a means for people to make income without really paying their fair share in taxes that help support our infrastructure. So those are my comments, and I'll let somebody else get a call in here. And I appreciate this conversation, and I appreciate all the work you've done, Rosemary Johnson.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I want to take another caller, Rosemary. So we're going to if this touches on that and you want to continue, but let's get this last caller on. This is the conversation with John R. Thanks for your call. What's your comment or question?
I wanted to approach another way of looking at this issue. I really think there should be a master plan that makes the waterfront as magic as it could possibly be and reroutes the highway so it is a little bit easier to get through town. And I think that the primary criteria for the waterfront should be foot traffic. I also think it would be legitimate for the planners to look at vectors where the side of the river could allow tall buildings because of the buildings behind. So you could establish peekaboo views on the waterfront in cases where the views are already blocked.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah, I think that's thanks for that call. I'll just interject here that's one thing that when I looked at it further seemed to crop up as a matter of concern, because you could lower the height, but if there's existing structures, probably a more common phenomenon in the urban core, then the height restrictions may not really change things, but they in terms of river views by residents or people driving their cars when they actually should be looking at the road, but the people up on the hillsides and so forth, then there's that consideration, because we're not talking about overwater development. We're talking about south of the Riverwalk here. So go ahead.
Right. And one of the things we did when we looked at some of the heights is we did go up on the hillside to look what the citizens are looking at from their homes. And a 35 or 45 foot building from the hillsides would not block your view of the river. And so that's why we were allowing up to 45, because it was not going to impact it from the higher elevations.
Which higher elevations?
Such as Exchange, Harrison, Lexington. If you're up in those neighborhoods, 35 or 45 feet is only going to block a little edge of the river. You're still going to see the ships go by. So 35 and 45 does not impact from the hillside. What it impacts is from lower down. And that's why people wanted the lower winds from the Marine Drive, West Marine, and the River Trail area.
So the number of residences affected by the 35-foot or the 40-foot height would be just those living on the hillside from Duane and Commercial.
Correct. By the time you get up to about Franklin, that area, it's not going to impact you very much at all. Yes, it will. You will see it, but it's not going to impact the majority of your river view.
In a majority, so there'd be a sliver, or there would be a line of obscured view. But relative to the view of the entire river, there would be 90% or 80% still available for viewing.
Even
greater than 80 or 90% for the 35 or 40 foot. Well, I tell you, that's an enlightening. That's a consideration, because we don't live in a world of absolutes or everybody getting their way completely or perfections when we have to deal with a complicated policy issue that has competing variables. The calls have been good. The number here is 503-325-0010. The topic today is, should the Astoria Planning Commission lower allowable building heights along the riverfront? And Rosemary Johnson, again, is our guest, and we appreciate that. So give us your calls if you want to be heard on this. We have time for a couple more callers. Do you have something more you'd like to say?
Yes, I'd like to respond to the previous caller on the transient lodging or Airbnb vacation rental. The city of Astoria is not in the same percentage as the county because we do not allow vacation rental in Astoria. So to rent out your home and not live there, we do not allow that. We just recently, the city council adopted a code concerning homestay lodging, which is what people call Airbnb. And Airbnb is just an advertising platform. So that's a homestay lodging, two rooms in your home. Those two rooms cannot become housing because there's no kitchen. It's just a bedroom you're renting out. That's not depleting the housing stock. Once you get a kitchen area, then yes, that could be depleting the housing stock. And so City Council did adopt a code that said if you're going to do homestay lodging, it can't include a kitchen. And so that would stop that. We've already got the codes in place. And on the same night, Tuesday night, we will have the development code amendment concerning transient lodging to put some additional restrictions in the development code concerning transient lodging and where they can be, still allowing them, but not to deplete the housing stock. So we're not allowing full homes to be rented.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I did not know that. And it makes sense because otherwise you might work a hardship on people who have homes that maybe because of the taxes or the mortgages or the loss of an income earner would need to rent out to people. I guess you could call it Airbnb. That has sort of touristy connotations. But if you're just renting out a couple of rooms, then you're perhaps not displacing the current potential housing stock that we badly need in this county and in this city.
And we require that the owner live in the home at the same time as the guest.
I see. Well, that's interesting. That's an important clarification. Let's see here. Are there now the recommendations of the city by the city manager based on your recommendations? What are they currently? Are they just sort of following what your sense of the council was from an earlier meeting on the height restrictions, or is this a best of all possible worlds recommendation by you and the city manager for the city of Astoria on allowable building height?
Okay. We have to follow land use laws in Oregon, and the city council gave us direction to update the code to make it clear and gave us the suggestion of reducing the height based on the comments they had heard from the citizens. And so what they do is they turn it over to staff to prepare a draft based on their comments. That draft then will be reviewed in a public forum on Tuesday night before the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission is the one ultimately that develops this draft to be presented to the City Council. So that Planning Commission decision will be based on the input from the citizens that night and the staff's draft. Then they will decide their recommendation to the City Council on the proposed draft. The Planning Commission doesn't make a decision, they make a recommendation. Then their recommendation goes to the City Council for another public hearing, and the City Council can accept that draft or they can make changes to it based on the input from the citizens.
So let me rephrase my question. The recommendations are based on A, a sense of what the council's directions are, and B, what the existing laws, land use laws, and the Oregon revised statutes and conflicts with other code provisions within the city, and I suppose constitutional considerations as well.
Correct.
Those are all in the mix in what you deliver them based on what they've requested.
Correct. We have to look at all of those, especially state regulations and other city codes, how it affects it.
So I do want to alert the callers to a couple things as we wind it up here. And that is that at astoria.or.us or Google Astoria Planning Commission, you can find your way to the agenda and the many, many pages of attachments which inform this discussion. So you can have that with you or study up on it, because there is a meeting on Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Guy Boyington Building in the city of Astoria on the allowable building heights and Bridge Vista Zone. and also whether stores that sell cannabis should be considered tourist-oriented retail in the development code. So I want to thank our guest, our knowledgeable guest, Rosemary Johnson, for stopping by and giving us this rather thumbnail, condensed summary.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a planning background as an undergraduate, and it takes a certain kind of mind and a certain kind of patience and thoroughness to be able to stay with it. And my hat's off to you and your many years of service at the City of Astoria.
Thank you.
So I'll let you head on out of the studio, and I'll finish it up here. Thanks, Rosemary Johnson.
Thank you. Yeah.